You can end up with a very interesting conversation if you were to ask people around you, what was the Reformation about? You'll get a variety of answers, and I think to some extent, maybe because we are 500 years removed from it, I think sometimes it's impacted by maybe our denominational background, or maybe it's just, we're just not informed. But my dear friends in Christ, the Lutheran Reformation of the Church was about nothing more and nothing less than the truth. It was about what Jesus said to us today, spoke to us through our gospel reading today, the truth that sets men free. We must understand that that was truly the state of the church and the people of God in Luther's day. They were in bondage. They were in bondage to their sin. And unlike where Christians are today, where we understand that we have a loving, just, merciful, and gracious God, they were bound under the weight of that sin. And in truth, they were anything but free. Well, the Reformation is therefore about telling the truth boldly, telling the truth courageously, telling the truth unceasingly, doing so no matter the consequences, because it was vital that they would stand up for the truth, because the error, the false teachings, the false doctrines that had penetrated and entered into the church were literally leading people down a deadly road to hell. Some would laxly say that the false teachings were poison to the soul. The Reformation was about standing up for those who had abandoned the true teachings of the Christian faith. How not just, you know, those in political power, not just those who were the popes and the head of Rome, not just the church councils when they would come together to address and deal with doctrines and teachings. It was in pastors and churches alike. It was about standing up for the truth. And the Reformation ended up meaning turmoil, turmoil in the church, turmoil in society. It meant men like Martin Luther risking their reputations, their careers, their livelihoods, even their lives for the sake of that truth. And it meant that Christians and Christian congregations all over Europe in those days, they needed to decide between following the glory and, you know, the beauty and the wonder of Rome and the church as it was known in that way, or following a simple German priest as he was preaching and seeking to bring them back to the truth, not to break away, not to make himself a name, but to proclaim and stand upon that truth. One of the things that happens in my mind, and I wonder if it does in yours, is people want to know, how did it ever happen? I mean, the Bible's been around, right? How did it end up happening that the church as Luther knew it, and he was raised in, and he was instructed and taught in, how did it wander so far from the truth of God's holy word? Well, let me give you an example. Remember in school where, you know, we would have our desk and they'd all be in a line? And the teacher, in order to talk about the importance of communication, would whisper into the ear of the child in the front desk. And then that child would speak, you know, those words to the one behind them and so on. And finally you got back to the sixth or seventh or eighth desk, however big your class was. And then the teacher would have that child say, "Now tell me what you heard." And you know what it was like, right? It was barely anything like what had begun at the front of the row. There might be a few similar words or words that you could at least equate, you know, maybe child instead of kid or something like that, but how it would change. This, my friends, reminds us of how, you know, maybe this kind of situation helped to contribute to the situation, to the fact that the truth was being lost and was clouded. The word in Luther's day there in Germany was not written in German for the people to read, even if they could read. At best, it was in Latin, and that was for the educated. And many would say that Luther and many of the others who were trained as priests had not been trained even through the word, but they were trained almost exclusively through the teachings of the church fathers, the popes, and those before them. It is with this in mind that again the Lord urges us to understand the necessity for us to read, to study, to inwardly digest this word and take it in for ourselves. I stand before you almost every Sunday, and I stand here and I pray that I preach the word as it is here in His Holy Bible. But how do you know that's true? If you are totally relying upon the word you get as it is presented here, and you go not back to that word at all on your own, you do not look at those doctrines, those teachings, those revelations as they are revealed elsewhere in Scripture, how do you know that I or any other teacher are bringing to you the very truth of God's word? Well, the truth revealed in the Reformation fills what we have as the Book of Concord. And for some of you, maybe you even haven't even heard that word or the title of that book, maybe since you were in confirmation. But that is the Lutheran Book of Confessions, the accepted doctrines that we receive and accept and say they are true and correct as a proper exposition of Scripture. And if they do not agree, they are not to be in there. But it has been wonderfully summarized, that book, into three simple phrases. Sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura. By grace alone, by faith alone, by Scripture alone. That, my dear friends, was the teaching of truth that Luther found for himself that finally relieved him of the burden of his own sin. It was that which finally was also brought to the people to bring them freedom and peace with God. And that is the truth in which we are heirs of the Reformation. If you haven't heard in a while, we believe, teach, and confess that this book, the Holy Bible, is the Word of God. And you're like, duh. But do you know if you were to do this outside, that would not be how it would be perceived? You'd hear things like, you still believe in that old book? After 2,000 years, don't you think there's errors in it? That's why I'm somewhat selective about what translation I want to be using, both for my own personal study. It's why we are still using the NIV. It is a good translation, straight from the Hebrew, the Greek, and there are many of transcripts that help to substantiate how that this is still that very word. We believe it. Well, today we'll begin with Scripture alone. We're going to look at these, Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. But today is Scripture alone, the Word of God, because that's where we learn about grace of God toward the human race and the faith by which sinners are justified, made right, accepted by God. Jesus spoke in our gospel today to the Jews who had believed him. How had they come to believe him? By hearing the word. They had heard from the Holy Scriptures, the prophets of the Old Testament, that they would have a Messiah, a Savior who would come to save them from their sins and bring them into his kingdom. They had heard Jesus calling them to repentance and faith in him, the promised Messiah, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is always at work in his word, they had come to believe. And so today we hold to the fact that one cannot come to faith by their own, not through reason, not through wisdom, not through nature. As we are told in Romans chapter 10, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 15, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's it mean to abide? What's it mean to remain in Jesus' word? It means to hold on to it. It means to continue to believe it. It means to depend upon it. It means to hang on to it for dear life. I would venture to say I hear at least once a week somebody say to me, and this week was one of them included, somebody will say, Pastor, I don't know how people get through this life or life situations without faith. It is hanging on to it for dear life. It means to stick with what Jesus says, no matter what anyone else might say. It means to stay deeply rooted and planted in Jesus' word, not as a part of your life, but as the very source of your life, for this life here and ultimately for eternity. And yes, those who abide in Jesus' word are truly his disciples. They are the ones who know the truth. They are the ones who are set free. But you know how crafty the evil one is, right? The devil. And by the way, sometimes going through series like this allow us to address these things. But by the way, Satan's real. He's not just a cartoon character. It's not just some name that was given to define evil in the world. He is the one behind the evil in the world. But he is crafty. And the truth is, he's always casting the scriptures into doubt, always sending people back to their own reason, their own strength, back to their own human philosophies and traditions in order to obscure the truth of God's holy word. His objective is to keep men captive in his darkness, or to bring them back out of the light and into that darkness. Oh, don't believe that. You're smarter than that, aren't you? You know better than that. Who's going to trust an old book like that? Listen, we've learned so much. We've gained so much. Look at how wise man has become. The lies are all around. But the word of God, the word of Jesus, the good news will never be silenced. For as the scripture says, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. The light of the gospel will never go out. For us who believe God's word and promise, the gospel is still the power for salvation to everyone who believes. See, the word, the scriptures, they are a roadmap. This is our GPS that reveals to us the way to the Father and the life that He offers through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Yes, you can read other books. You can spend time in nature. You can talk to all kinds of people. God promises to meet us and speak to us through His Word. There's no place for the ideas, the philosophies, or the teachings of man. It's solo scriptura, Scripture alone. The Reformation principle that Luther helped to restore was by Scripture alone. By Scripture alone has God revealed Himself and His saving purpose and plan for mankind, for you and for me. By Scripture alone, we learn to know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom He sent. By Scripture alone, the Holy Spirit teaches us the truth and enlightens our hearts to believe in Jesus as our Savior. From Scripture alone, all doctrine is to be drawn and judged to see what is from God and what is not. Humans can err. Popes can err. Church councils can err. Congregations can err. Theologians can err. Priests and pastors can err. But the word of the Lord remains forever. So what does all this mean? Great Lutheran question, right? Great question for any follower of the Lord Jesus Christ to ask themselves. God's Word, Scripture alone, is our roadmap for this life into life eternal. Remember, as we opened, I made reference to that scripture from Romans, faith comes from hearing. And I pondered that word of hearing. And I did so for myself. I'm very much a tactile learner. I like to be hands-on. I would rather listen to somebody a lot of times than read. Faith comes by hearing. And I remembered how thankful I am for the parents I was blessed with. A mom who, you know, got us up every Sunday morning. There was never a question is, are we going to church today? It was just what we did. We went to church. We went to Sunday school. Or a mom who would have us do our bedtime prayers every night. Or a mom, anybody remember Happy Time magazine? Concordia Publishing House printed it for years for little children somewhere from about the age of 4 through 10. And mom would either read it to me or when I was older and reading, she would have me read it. My faith was becoming more than just what I went and I did at church, what somebody said to me. My faith was becoming real because that word was alive and it was speaking to me. Faith comes from hearing. My father was a little less the visible one in matters of faith in the house, and yet he was. When Advent and Lent would come and we would get one of those devotional books from church, he would make sure that at the table we would read it every night because we had dinner at the table every night. He was the one who by his life served in the church and gave in response to the working of the Word and Spirit in him. Faith comes from hearing. And today, it's still happening in my life. I've been in a men's small group Bible study since 1989. I need those brothers to help me to continue to grow and see that word and its application to my life. I have three other pastors that I get together with once a month to be in the word, to be in prayer, to hold personally accountable in our own walk of faith and life. I have two other friends, one a pastor and one not, that are confidants that sometimes if I need a person now, that's who I call or who calls me. And that word is part of our conversation, as is prayer. Faith comes from hearing, and it is still laying before me a roadmap for life and faith. I pray it is for you. Our God, the one and only true God, loves all people, all of his children. It is out of that love that he has not abandoned any in their sin. Instead, in love and a desire that we would be with him forever, he has provided us with Scripture, the roadmap for all. Amen.